Our text this morning is from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 12. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And verse 21, the last verse. "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Last week, the reading from Luke taught us about prayer, and this week's reading from Luke teaches us about possessions. It sounds like we're in confirmation class, so take out your paper and pencil and be sure to take good notes. Possessions. Possessions can give us a sense of security. And security is that warm feeling that everything is okay, that we and our loved ones are taken care of. Now, people go down different roads to find that security. And one of those roads is the accumulation of possessions. Whether those possessions are real physical items that we can touch, that are in our homes, in the garage, or the land, or if that security comes in the form of a bank statement. These are all sources of security that some people follow. Now, planning for the future and using God's blessings wisely is surely a good thing and a right use of those many blessings. So we have our parable that Jesus tells today, and it's kind of a puzzling one. He comes right out and calls this farmer, who seemed to be planning for the future, building bigger barns, calls him a fool. So what's up with that? Where did this farmer go wrong? What can we learn about possessions? What can we learn about ourselves? Now, you can imagine an Iowa farmer who has just built one of those, or several of those, nice, shiny grain bins, how he listens to this parable. Puzzling. And I'm sure each of us is a bit puzzled by this. We have to remember here that Jesus is not teaching us how or when to build those bigger barns or those grain bins to store the abundance of wheat, corn, and beans. He's warning us about greed. Now, one translation I found had our verse 15 translated this way: "Be watchful and guard against every kind of greed." So if we think of that instead of that word covetousness, I think it becomes a little clearer for us. So what is greed? And isn't that the obsession that a person has to hoard anything and everything for himself? When you are greedy, everything is about me. You ignore the neighbor. And I think this goes back to that security issue. A greedy person is someone who hoards possessions and finds their security in those possessions. Now, in the parable, Jesus tells us first off that the rich man's land produced abundantly. It was the land that produced without the efforts of the farmer. But you wouldn't know that when you listen to his words. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample good laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Count the number of first-person pronouns in those words, and you will find where this man's heart lies. It wasn't the land, it was me. It's all about me. His whole life, he thought, was well taken care of. He can now sit back and relax all alone and eat, drink, and be merry. Now, if you think about it, this man sounds a lot like old Ebenezer Scrooge. Remember Ebenezer in the Christmas Carol by Dickens? It seems like there's a lot in common here. But Dickens didn't follow the plot of Jesus' parable very closely. There was no second chance for this rich farmer. No ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future to change this man's outlook on life. Luke tells us the end was very abrupt for this farmer. God says to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And our Old Testament lesson pointed out the words of the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. This man had no rest, no chance to rest in the security of all those full barns that he put up. He had no chance to enjoy the bounty of his harvest. And so the message for us, very simple and plainly, is that greed leads to death. And that passage, the end, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So true security is not tied to the possessions of this world. And so an obvious lesson for this parable is that greed is a sin. And if we think about it, that sin lies at our doorstep each and every day, and it seeks to come in into our hearts and lives. Greed is very close to each one of us. And our prayers to God the Father should be a continual prayer. Lord, preserve us. Keep me from that sin. So how should we regard our possessions? Where should we find our security? Our possessions are truly gifts from God. Now that's one of those things that we hear a lot of. It's very apparent. We sang those hymns that pointed out our blessings are from God. But I don't think we can take those words for granted. We need to hear that frequently, that our gifts are blessings from God. Now, this farmer missed that conversation with God completely. He was only directed toward himself. He did not see the hand of God in everything about him, in the land that produced abundantly. And he also did not see the neighbor that God had placed at his very doorstep. His life was not just about him and the gathering of his possessions. His very source of life was in God. God, the creator of heaven and earth. This creator blessed him in so many ways that he could not even begin to count them. Instead of counting his blessings, he fell asleep counting sheep, cattle, bushels of grain. His life itself was a gift from God, and he didn't get it. His security was found in his possessions, that he mistakenly thought that he was the one who accumulated them through his toil and hard work. But he missed the boat. Security, true security, lies in the hands of God and in those blessings that come from his hands. Here we recognize not only the possessions that we find around us, the things that we can put our hands on, but included in that are the most important blessings that come from his hands, and that is the gift of forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ, life and salvation that he freely gives to each one of us. These blessings come from the sacrifice of his very Son on the cross. He left the abundance of life with the Father to take on poverty in the flesh. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Through Christ's poverty that we find in the incarnation and in his suffering and death, we receive the riches of God. We receive riches that cannot be earned or purchased with any amount of silver or gold. Now, the blessings of God come in the form of gifts, not earned or deserved. There are the first article gifts. My body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and also clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house, home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods. He does this all out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. And then there are the second article gifts. He has redeemed me, a lost, condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. He did this not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And finally, there are the third article gifts, through which the Holy Spirit calls us to faith, keeps us in faith, and gathers us into the Christian church, and is here in the holy Christian church where God's gifts are poured out abundantly through the preaching of the word, through the sacraments. And in these gifts, here in the church, you realize what is true security. Here is where you find the riches of God. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me that I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And gathered into the holy Christian church, you are not alone. Here you are gathered with other believers in the Holy Christian Church, the Ark, and you see others around you. They are in the church as well. And there are more. There are the ones that you cannot see, the ones who are around the world, who are across times, and there are those saints who are now gathered in heaven. Remember those saints in the white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb? That is all part of the Holy Christian Church. So you are not alone like that poor farmer. Here, God gives you rest and security for you, tired and worn from dealing with your sin in the sinful world. Here, the redemption, your redemption, is made clear in word and sacrament. For here is Jesus and him crucified. And now, securely resting in his everlasting arms, your eyes are open to the needs of the neighbor around you. Secure in the blessings of God, you can now see that the blessings that God has given to you, that you have received from the bounty of his hands, are meant to be shared. Those physical blessings that you have can lift up the neighbor and relieve his physical needs. And along the way, you may have opportunity to speak to that neighbor about that new life that is yours in Christ Jesus. That is indeed, isn't that the best blessing of all? For there is still a lot of room in God's kingdom. Amen.